Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's so good to be with you this Sunday morning. If this is your first Sunday with us, we're glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home this Sunday morning. And if you have been worshiping with us for a long time, we are glad to have you here as well. We are a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God, and we are excited to be doing a sermon series. You can see up here in the front, there's a whole bunch of pieces of luggage. We're doing a sermon series about baggage, all different kinds of baggage that we carry around in the midst of our life, so we hope that the message, something that we say or pray or sing this morning, touches your life and impacts the way that you live your life from Monday to Saturday of this week. And as we go through our time together, I want to encourage you to take a moment and fill out those blue connection cards if you received one on the way in. A little bit later on in the service, when we collect the offering, just putting that inside the offering basket is a tremendous gift. It helps us know that you were here this Sunday, and so we would love to have you fill that out. And in addition, there are yellow prayer cards that we have in the pew back in front of you. We'd love for you to fill one of those out. If there's anything that we can be praying for you or one of your family members about, we encourage you to take a moment to fill that out as well. I want to say a warm welcome to those of you who are watching online. We're grateful for your presence here as you worship with us. We hope that you find a nice quiet center within the comfort of your own home or wherever you might be this day. We're so glad that you are joining us as well. With that, I'd like to invite you to join us in worshiping as we sing with the opening song, number 454, Open My Eyes. Would you please stand and sing unto the Lord?
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, of all the heavens and earth, you see and know everything and have a plan that is beyond our understanding. Open our eyes to your calling in our lives. Help us to put aside our desire to have all the answers now and accept that you are God and will lead us in the right direction. In your name we pray. Amen. Scripture readings this morning, there are two. The first is the conversion of Saul from Acts 9, verses 1 through 18. The second will be Psalm 51, verse 10. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they had heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate or drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from a chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bob, for reading our scripture this morning. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who heals us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've told some of you that before coming here to Brighton, I had the distinct privilege of serving in the city of Detroit down at Cass United Methodist Church in Detroit. And there was one day that I was walking from Cass United Methodist Church up to Wayne State University, which isn't too far. It's maybe like a 12 or 15 block walk just by memory. You could probably Google map it and tell me it was eight. It was something like that. It wasn't a particularly cold day. It was like in the spring. Time, and I was walking towards Wayne State University on my way to meet up with a couple of students up there, and I was early. I had plenty of time. I was going to go up and hang out in the student commons there, and I looked over, and to my surprise, there was a gentleman, it wasn't particularly uncommon to see folks who were on the street one way or another. I saw a gentleman that caught my attention. I looked over at him, and I saw that this gentleman had numerous, I would say like 20, 25 chains that were wrapped around his neck. And some of these chains were not necessarily small like golden jewelry. They were large sort of chain link chains that this individual was wearing around their neck. And I love interesting people. I mean, I can't help myself. When you see somebody like this, you don't necessarily walk on by, but I was thinking like, I have an appointment I need to catch. I am trying to meet with these students. And so I was just on my way, trying to get there as swiftly as I possibly could. And then across the street, this guy yelled at me, "Hey, you!" And I was like, you know, I like froze because I can't help it. I'm like, you're a pastor. You've preached about the story of the Good Samaritan lots of times in your ministry. Like, you can't just walk by somebody when they're homeless. This is just like what my internal dialogue was at this particular moment. And then I was like, but I'm in a rush. I should keep going. And so I kept walking for a little bit further. And the guy yelled at me again, "Hey, aren't you the pastor of the church down the street?" And I'm like, no, now I'm really called out, right? Like, now I really need to stop because I can't, like, the word, you know, Detroit's a big city, but it's a small town. Like, everybody would have known that the pastor just walked right by this guy. These are the things going on in my head. And so I stopped and I engaged with this man. I mean, he was interesting to begin with because he was sort of hunched over with the weight of all of these chains that were hanging around his neck. And I remember I asked him, you know, as we got, what's your name? We got into a conversation and I asked him, why are you wearing, what's going on with the chains? You know, I was curious. And at that point, I felt like I could ask the question. And he started pointing to various chains that he was wearing around his neck. And he said, "I put this one on after I came home from the Vietnam War. I put this one on when I lost contact with my family. I put this one on when I started struggling with alcohol and drug abuse. I put this one on when I got estranged from my family." And he just went through all of these chains that he was wearing around his neck, and he started naming the reasons why he had put them on, and it was an outward and physical manifestation of all of the intense stuff that this man was carrying around. Now, some of us, we do a better job of hiding our baggage than that, right? We have things that we carry around on the inside that don't necessarily materialize on the outside, but this man's baggage was on full display. Not only could everybody see it, but he could literally name the reasons why he had certain chains hanging around his neck. Sometimes when I think about the Apostle Paul and this particular story about the Apostle Paul, where he's literally on the way to persecute Christians, right? This guy that we hold up as a saint of the church also had a history doing significant damage to people on the inside of the church. He was sent on a mission to round up people who said that they were following Jesus, to put them to death or to imprison them. And that was his task. He was on his way to Damascus to do a similar thing. And suddenly he has this incredible conversion experience where he goes from being asleep with his eyes closed to just see, you know, seeing this moment where his sight is lost completely because he was confronted by God and called into a completely different light. And there are sometimes when I think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, it says that he had a thorn in his flesh that he prayed three times that God would relieve him from, right? And sometimes when I think about Paul's life, one of the things that I wonder is, was the thing that Paul was praying about over and over that God would relieve him from, this thorn that he had in his flesh, I wonder if maybe there might be some way that the thorn in his flesh was this guilt, knowing that at one time, this leader of the church, this person who kind of had some audacity to write letters to Philippi, to write letters to the church in Galatia, to write a letter to the church in Rome, at one time was the very guy who was putting Christians to death. And now he had this incredible epiphany that he was called to expand the reign and influence and connection of the kingdom of God to all kinds of people who had no previous religious experience, the Gentile community. I wonder if one of the things that Paul might have been praying about when he said, I prayed to God three times that you would relieve me of this thorn in my flesh. I wonder if he was just praying about, God, set me free from this guilt that I'm feeling about the two different ways that I've lived my life. A lot of people carry around guilt, shame, fear of folks realizing that while we present ourselves in a good way, not, you know, most days of the week, that there are some things that we've done in our life that we are ashamed of. Some of us on the inside, when we're laying awake at night in the middle of the night trying to go to sleep, we're still trying to resolve some of the bad decisions that we've made somewhere along our lives. If only I had gone this way instead of this way. If only I had been more honest instead of telling a false story. If only I had done a little bit more work to save this relationship before it completely fell apart. If only I had worked a little bit harder to restore this broken connection, then maybe I'd be asleep right now. I'm here to tell you, I haven't run into anybody in my entire life that doesn't feel a little bit of this in one way or another. If you've met a perfect person, let the rest of us know, will you? Because I'm sure they've probably written books and are published authors and are famous in the world, but I don't know of any perfect people save one. So we all carry around a degree of this baggage. We all carry around a dimension of this weight that this individual in Detroit was carrying around through these chains that he was wearing around his neck. To some degree, it sort of reminds me of Jacob Marley, right? In this moment where he sees his former business partner sort of like, get out while you still can. See, my fate is sealed. I have these chains around my neck, but you still have time in this life to take these chains off. You no longer have to live this way. And of course, the next morning he wakes up and he's like, get the biggest bird and let's celebrate. And everyone's like, why did you have this massive life change? Well, the same thing was true for the Apostle Paul. On the road to Damascus, he's knocked down. He literally goes blind. He has absolutely nothing to see. He can't see at all. And there are like scales over his eyes. And he goes on to his friend Ananias, who's terrified to even see him, right? Like an angel comes and visits Ananias and says, go talk to my servant Saul. And he's like, I don't want to talk to that guy. He has a terrible reputation. He would put me in jail. He'd imprison me. He might even kill me. Why do you want me to go talk to him? I mean, that's Paul's baggage, right? That's Paul's baggage, that his reputation precedes him. People are afraid to talk to him. And yet finally, Ananias works up the courage to go talk to him, to pray for him. The scales come off Paul's eyes. He's able to see once again for the first time in a couple of days. And all of a sudden, he experiences this incredible weight being lifted off of him. Our brothers and sisters in the recovery community know that one of the best ways that you can move through the steps of recovery if you're struggling with drug or alcohol addiction is to simply just come clean and say, I have a problem. Most of us struggle to do that. Most of us would prefer to bury those external chains that the man had as deeply within our body as we possibly can, to just push them down, to allow them not to be seen, let nobody else know that we have a problem. We'd far prefer to drive around town with, I have 17 grandchildren and they're all honor roll students, right? To project this image that everything is fine, perfect, dandy, that we have everything together, that our home is always orderly and perfect. And we bury this baggage as deep as we possibly can. But I'm here to tell you that I think like the best and most productive and safest and fullest spiritual life is one that takes the chains that we've buried and put away our entire life and just exfoliates them. It's not that you have to be proud necessarily of the mistakes that you've made. It's not that you have to say that these chains that I've had in my entire life are some kind of blessing, or I'm grateful that they happened. You don't have to brag about it, but to simply say, I've experienced pain, grief, loss. I've experienced shame. And this is how I've worked my way through it. Or I'm in the middle of it right now, and it's amazing to me how often in our lives, as soon as we open up with that kind of stuff, as soon as we open up and say, you know, middle school was brutal for me, it's amazing to me how many people say, oh yeah, that's true. I mean, folks that otherwise present like they always have their life together, immediately they're like, actually, middle school was terrible for me. I got suspended 17 times. I was a terrible person. And you look at them and you're like, wow, I had no idea. But oftentimes, one of my friends in ministry, Reverend Letha Ravi, who's preached here at this church before, she's a counselor with Samaritan Counseling Center. She says it's oftentimes our jagged edges that allow us to connect the best. You see, the reality is when we walk up to each other and we say, I'm fine, you're fine, oftentimes that interaction, that relationship has no footing to establish itself upon. But when you're a parent and you walk up to other parents and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't get my kids to sit still. They're running all around. I'm trying to talk to them. And then another parent says, oh yeah, my kids run around all the time too. Instantaneously, there's a beautiful connection. And when I was walking on the streets of Detroit and I met this gentleman with chains hanging all around his neck, and he started to name the burdens that he was carrying, there was a moment. And not to say that my life was exactly like his, but when he started talking about relationships that had fallen apart and broken down, I was like, oh yeah, I know what that chain's like. And suddenly, the distance that had started when I was on one side of the street and he was on another side of the street, and he was calling out, hey man, aren't you the pastor of the church? And I felt, oh man, I'm in such a hurry. I've got somewhere to go. I can't talk. Like all of a sudden, the distance that we felt got smaller. I want to encourage us all as a church to allow the chains that we have buried, to allow the shame and the guilt and the stuff that we have put down in an effort to keep up with the Joneses, to put all of our appearances on full display, that we have our lives together, to allow those chains to sometimes work their way up so that we might also use our stories, our pains, our hurts, our guilts, our anxieties as a way of connecting our jagged edges with other people, to allow God's grace to work within us, to allow the scales to come off our own eyes, to allow us to experience the fullness of God's grace, to allow us to experience the healing and what it feels like to take the chains that we have been walking around with our entire life and to allow God to relieve us of that weight. Allow God's grace to work fully in our lives. And who knows, in the midst of it all, we might find ourselves ever closer to God and ever closer to one another by allowing ourselves to be honest with who we are. The reality is we all have chains, and we can bring them to the surface so that God's grace might be made manifest in all of us. Thanks be to God for a God that loves us even when we have chains all around our necks. Even when we haven't lived lives that are perfect and worthy of a Hallmark movie, even when we have fallen short of our own expectations of ourselves, God comes and sees us, even with all of those chains around our necks, and says, I love you for exactly who you are. And my friends, that is incredible news for all of us who are carrying heavy baggage. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you meet us exactly where we are. And though many of us lead lives just like the Apostle Paul or just like the man in Detroit who is so covered in those chains, we pray that one by one you would help us take those chains from around our neck and lay them at your feet, that we would allow ourselves to be free from the weight that we carry around in our lives. Allow us to enter into a deeper freedom that comes from your grace. Thank you for loving us exactly as we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Thank you so much, choir. Good morning, friends. It's good to see you. I have a quick backstory, baggage backstory before we have prayer together. It turns out, as I was getting ready for this prayer, that this is the third year in a row that I've prayed this particular Sunday, which precedes or surrounds Martin Luther King Day, Human Relations Day, and I was struck by some frustration, admittedly, that while I have learned a lot about social justice and race relations and things like that over the last few years, I personally didn't feel like I've moved the needle a whole lot. And so if you hear some frustration in this prayer, that's where that was coming from. But on the way here, I was thinking about our new friend Randy Clausen. Give a wave, Randy. Randy has been instrumental in starting a new group here at the church called Church and Society. And that, for me, is a bright point to try and move that needle a little bit. It's focused on social justice. It's focused on advocacy and finding ways to make change beyond the helping hand. So with that, will you pray with me? God of mercy, God of love, we pray today with a humble stance. We want to rejoice and be grateful for the blessings of the day. We want to receive your favor and accept your forgiveness and grace. But in doing so, we must acknowledge when we fall short of what you have called us to be. We have not always loved our neighbors as we love ourselves. We struggle not to pass judgment on others who think or feel or act or look differently from us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to not just bear witness to your light and love in the world, but to see the world with your eyes. To see each other and every other one as a child of God, loved and wanted, and fully dependent on your grace for wholeness. Give us new courage to respond to the injustices and hurts of this world in a way that brings your kingdom closer. We don't need to look very far to find people hurting or suffering. Help us be justice seekers. Give us new strength to unload the burdens that weigh us down and prevent us from being in right relationship with you and with our neighbors. And thank you, Lord, for all the gifts and resources that you've made available. And help us to not take them for granted, but to share them with those who have less access to things like fresh water, warm housing, meaningful work, protection from abuse or exploitation. As this pandemic circles on after 2 years, we pray for all who serve in ways to protect our health and care for the sick. We offer blessings to those who suffer illness or injury and those who care for them. Be present, Lord, for those awaiting test results, those who suffer in silence from mental or physical pain. Wrap your loving and healing arms around your children and bring them new peace. In the quiet of this worship space, we lay vulnerable our baggage so that you might sort what is ours to carry and do in your name and what is best left on your altar. Hear now our silent prayers. We lift up this morning prayer quilts for the Nordstrom Lane family. May the complex pattern of these quilts remind Brian and Robin Juna and Rowan, of your unfailing love. May the prayer knots tied with our love comfort them and remind them of our solidarity with them in their time of healing. And now, as we repeat together the Lord's Prayer, may we hear it with new ears and live in it with new hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Suzanne, for leading us in prayer. At this time, I'd like to invite forward Allison, who will be giving a mission moment. And as she comes forward, I just wanted to share that one of the pieces of good news that's come out of our Church and Society Committee just recently was an email that came from the public transit director of Livingston County. And it was exciting to see that after a couple of years hiatus, they're restoring public transportation for folks on Sundays, which is really good for folks if you work a weekend job. And Randy and the Church and Society group has been writing letters to this group, trying to advocate for folks to have access to affordable public transportation on Sundays. So we celebrate the minor victories, right, that add up to make substantive change in our community for justice and equity so that folks who are trying to work at jobs all across Livingston County can get there on Sundays. So thank you so much for leading us in an effort to pursue justice. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. If you are here this morning and you are wearing socks, please stand up. By the way, no judgments if you're not. I have a really hot-blooded teenager who won't touch them, and I'm kind of anti-sock myself. But anyway, as you can see, socks are really important, especially this time of year. They keep our feet nice and warm. And so we just want to make sure that everyone in our county has access to warm socks as well. So the youth are doing a sock drive. We're hoping to bring in at least 1,000 pairs of socks, and so we need your help. So I will invite you now to sit down and watch a video about it. Thank you.
Connect is an event where people in Livingston County can find resources. We're looking for donations of new socks in all sizes. You can find out which socks you'll donate by the first letter of your last name. A lot of us may take socks for granted, but some people don't have access to socks at all. These socks will help keep a lot of families warm this winter. Drop your socks off this month at the Community Room. Community Connect takes place February 5th at 242. Thank you so much for donating socks.
Creating that video and for that special announcement. At this time, we have a variety of ways that we can respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And so in a moment, our ushers will be coming through the sanctuary space. As this is a Human Relations Sunday in the United Methodist Church, I want to let you know there's a special offering through the United Methodist Church where all of the administrative costs of the United Methodist Committee on Relief, which is our disaster response organization within the church, are covered through a special offering that takes place this Sunday for Human Relations Sunday. So I invite you, if you feel so moved to make a contribution to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, you're welcome to do so this morning. We invite the ushers to please come forward as we receive this morning's offering.
Thank you.
As we bring our offerings to you today, we pray, when we have been self-centered, help us to be other-centered. When we have longed for more, help us to be grateful. And even when we do not have plenty, help us to be generous. In all things, guide us to be holy in you. Amen.
Thank you so much, choir, for leading us in song. As we close out our time of worship together today, I just want to share with you a couple of notes and announcements. I just wanted to begin by saying that we'll be holding a service for Casey Clouser. Some of you may know Casey, may have known Casey. He passed away a couple of weeks back, and we are going to be holding a service on February 5th here at the church at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we just wanted to make that announcement in case some of you were interested in supporting his family here at the service at that time, so we invite you to join us on that Saturday morning. In addition, there are a couple of youth retreats that are coming up that we want to let folks know about. On the Friday the 4th, the Winter Blast will be taking place at Wesley Woods, and we encourage folks to sign up and attend that. In addition, there's another youth retreat on February 18th, which is also at Wesley Woods. So if you'd like more information about that, we encourage you to get in touch with Allison and sign up to go on the winter retreat for that. In addition, you probably have heard that we're collecting money for the Samaritan Counseling Center, which operates out of both our Brighton and Whitmore Lake campuses. If you'd like to make a contribution to that, we would love to note that contribution by creating a leaf for you on the tree that's outside in the community room. We'll be collecting money for the Samaritan Counseling Center throughout the entire year as a church to raise money in support of mental health related issues here at the church. And in addition to that, I just want to say a big word of thanks. Over the course of 2021, as a church, we were able to raise and give away about $130,000 to missions, which was really just an incredible year for mission and mission support. And we're so excited to continue to build on a legacy of extravagant generosity here at this church. So as you go out into the world, I pray that you just take a moment to celebrate the sunshine. Amen. And I pray that you would find some way throughout the course of the day tomorrow, to even if it's just a moment of peace to yourself, thinking about ways that you can engage in the work of justice and equality, or perhaps if you feel called to serve in some way, there's a list on the Michigan Annual Conference website of different ways that you can serve in the work of equality and justice on Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. So I hope that you will find some way to engage in the meaningful work of solidarity and mutuality and justice and equality as we continue to live into the beloved community that Dr. Martin Luther King dreamt for all of us. It's good news for all of us. So as you go out into the world, I pray that you will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.